Well, friends, we now move into a new statute which is called the Companies Act 2013. To give you a background or to give you an insight as to how company law came into inception, we initially had the sole proprietary form of organization. It so happened that the sole proprietor, who was a singular man, putting his own capital, putting his own effort, putting his own skill, he found he could not sustain large-scale business, and therefore any kind of small activity was okay with him. Further on, we had the partnership form of organization, wherein two or more persons come together, they pool in their capital, they pool in their skills, they pool in their collective knowledge and start a business which is called an organization run by two partners, which is a partnership firm. But again here, there was a principle called unlimited liability. A liability wherein it runs to the personal assets or belongings. That is, if my liabilities are more than my assets, I'll have to sell off my private property. And this was very, very uncomfortable. And this is where we wanted to have the liabilities restricted. And this led to the inception of a new type of organization called the company form of organization. We initially had the Companies Act 56. Today it is there with certain modifications, and most of the areas have now been repealed, wherein we have the Companies Act 2013. We'll now look into the various aspects of this law. Proprietary organizations were extremely ideal for small-scale business, which I just gave you an insight into. Then we had the partnership organization with unlimited liability, where the partners said they were extremely unhappy as far as unlimited liability was concerned because it went down to their personal property. So, well, friends, I have to tell you that we started the English Companies Act, and therefore most of their provisions have been incorporated in our Indian company law. So we had the Act in 1850, Joint Stock Companies Act, wherein limited liability was introduced on the basis of UK's Companies Act of 1913. And then we had the Consolidated Act again of English company law, which was sought to be amended and made into the Indian Companies Act, as far as we were concerned, in 1913. Based on the reports of Homi Bhabha, way back in 1950, he comes out with a report and submitted major suggestions on Companies Act. And this led to the formation of the Companies Act 1956, which was basically enacted on the lines of English Companies Act 1948 with several amendments. In the year 2000, we had SEBI, the Securities Exchange Board of India, which had got powers to administer all public listed companies as far as any kind of buyback, any kind of transfers of shares or securities were concerned. In 2002, we had the constitution of the National Company Law Tribunal, which was called NCLT. And any orders from the NCLT, which were obviously not favorable, could be appealed with the appellate tribunal, and other allied areas were also sought to be introduced in the year 2000. 2006, we had directors who were required to have director identification number, which is called DIN, the filing of applications, various documents, inspection, etc. The liabilities and responsibilities of auditors was required to be balanced vis-a-vis the freedom of the board to function, so that today we find the evolution of the New Companies Act 2013, wherein regulations or compliances are required to be made, but at the same time, there has been a sense of accountability by the company towards all its stakeholders, and the new area has been corporate social responsibility, which we call as CSR activity, wherein every company today is required to not only have an economic goal as far as profit making is concerned, but is also having a social responsibility as far as the society is concerned to all its suppliers, bankers, and the areas as far as customers and shareholders are concerned, so that this has been a major accountability on the part of the company. The Companies Act 2013. Moving to the area of application of this act, the Companies Act is incorporated. Incorporated, my friends, means registered under the Companies Act 2013 or under any previous company law. That means a company which is registered under 2013 or any previous law, wherein it is already registered under the Companies Act 1956, it continues to be registered, it continues to be an incorporated body having an entity of its own. It includes insurance companies, it includes banking companies, it includes all statutory corporations, electricity companies as well. Important features and changes. The Companies Act 2013 has introduced the following: associate company, small company, auditing standards, related party, wherein if parties essentially are outsiders where the directors have a personal interest, the director is not supposed to be having any such areas wherein contracts are entered with any of these parties with whom he has a personal interest. Now, as far as KMPs, key managerial personnel, are concerned, 2013 has brought about very major changes, friends. As far as CEO, the chief executive officer, we have the CFO, chief financial officer, we have the managing director, we have whole-time directors, and one woman director under the Companies Act 2013. Global depository receipts, whereby any kind of receipts that are made as far as depositories are concerned, financial institutions, shall be done at the global or at the international levels. Independent director, wherein he is a man who is not associated with the company but is in an external capacity as far as any advisory areas are concerned. We have key managerial personnel that we have already discussed with the CEO and the CFOs. Listed companies are all companies whose shares are quoted with a price on the stock exchange, essentially all public limited A-listed companies. A subsidiary of a public company is deemed to be a public company. That is, we have public companies and private companies, the details of which we will be doing it in our future chapters here. Any subsidiary company or a company which is under the control of a public company is deemed, is presumed to also be a public company. Even if it is a private company, whereby if 25% or more of its shares is held by a public company, such a private company is today deemed to be a public company. Equity shares option purchase, or obviously we call it as ESOPs, wherein any kind of equity shares or equity holdings are concerned, before it is offered to outsiders, these equity shares are required to be offered to my employees, to my officers, to all my directors inside the company, wherein they are entitled to purchase this option at a price which is favorable to them. So this is equity shares optional purchase, which is an option given to them. Officers in default, supposing any area whereby the directors of the company, the secretary, the managing director commits any area of violation of compliances as far as the rules are concerned, the registrars to the issue, as well as the merchant bankers, are all having penalty measures. We now move into important areas. One person company. A company which is run by one singular person. It was actually very popular in Singapore and in foreign countries, which we have introduced in India, right on the basis of Solomon versus Solomon and Company. So that if one singular person holds all the shares of a company, such a company is deemed to be a one-person company, the details which we shall look into in our kinds of companies. MOA stands for Memorandum of Association. Memorandum of Association earlier had two clauses. One was called as the main clause, one was called as other objects or incidental clause. Now that incidental clause is knocked off. It starts with the main objects so that the shareholder is required to know where exactly his money is channelized into and whether it is the right direction, so that any kind of scams, any kind of manipulations by the directors of the company is sought to be avoided. Private companies shall also file declarations for commencement of business. Subsidiary company can hold shares in holding companies as a trustee. Changes in voting rights. Now we have preference shares, we have equity shares, we have deferred shares as far as companies are concerned. And therefore each of these securities, whether it's bonds, it's debentures, it's derivatives or any other area, the voting rights or the entitlements of preference or equity shareholders will depend on the kinds of shares that they hold, that their voting rights will depend on. No classification essentially between cumulative and non-cumulative preferential shareholders, whereby the arrears of these shares were accumulated over a period of time, and the non-area, as far as arrears being accumulated, the distinction between the two kinds of preference shareholders, where after some time they could have it converted, is sought to be removed as far as preferential shareholders are concerned. As far as companies are concerned, today every public company will have minimum 3 directors, maximum 5. A private company can have minimum 2. There is no limit as far as their maximum is concerned with private companies. Penalties for offenses and breaches have today been enhanced multifold. Thank you very much. We have now gone into the various areas as far as company law and its provisions of 2013 are concerned, having an insight into the key features of company law 2013. Thank you very much.